Good day, friends. We again come to you, and we've been greatly encouraged as we have been studying together, reading together the book of Genesis. As we see the life of this man, Abram, who was called the friend of God, or as I may quote from Isaiah again, Abraham, my friend. And we're down at chapter 15, and I would like to read especially the first 6 verses. I'm going to take the time to do this morning. We come to an amazing portion of Scripture, Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it for righteousness. And Abraham said, Amen to God. And God counted it to him, imputed it to him for righteousness. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, I am thy exceeding great reward. After what things? Well, especially the events in the preceding chapter. You remember in chapter 13, Abram was a man of peace. In the first half of chapter 14, he's the man of war. You remember he has gone forth and he has manifested the courage of faith. He manifested a heart that was purified by faith. We saw faith working by love. He went promptly to the rescue of Lot, his nephew. And then we have the faith that overcomes the world. He defeated the great armies of Amraphel. Or as Proverbs 28:1 says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. I'm sure that the Lord gave him the strategy which he used to defeat the great armies of Amraphel and Kedorlaomer. And he came back with the persons, with the captives, and with the goods. And you remember the story? And the sad thing about that story is that Lot went right back to Sodom. Now, before the king of Sodom can meet Abram, Abram's going to go into a more severe, more subtle test. You know, it's these subtle tests that really get us. To face the armies of Kedorlaomer and Amraphel and so on, this is something tangible you could see. But now, we read in chapter 14 that the king of Sodom was coming out to meet him to get his people back. And before he could do that, Melchizedek, king of Salem, you remember, king of peace, king of righteousness, is found in Hebrews chapter 7. He met Abram and gave him the revelation that his God was El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth. Now, I'm taking a little time this morning to repeat this because, to me, it's an amazing thing how God can step into the picture and he's always on time. And especially when I realize this is the first revelation of God to man. That is, what he is. Now, before this, we've had God as the creator. But here you find him as El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth. And this man, Melchizedek, who was a king and a priest, by the way, a real picture, real type of the Savior, as you find in Hebrews 7. He was made like unto the Son of God, a priest, forever. And our Lord, you remember, was called a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I don't want to go into that. There are two priesthoods in the Bible. There's the Levitical priesthood. There's the Melchizedek priesthood. you and I can't qualify for the Levitical priesthood, but we can qualify, as 1 Peter chapter 2 speaks of the fact of verses 5 and 9, that we are a holy priesthood and we're a royal priesthood. We're after the order of Melchizedek. Now, he gives to him the revelation that his God owns everything. Amazing thing, isn't it? Have you come to that place, by the way, that your God owns everything? That your God owns everything? That your Savior is the heir of all things? He's not only creator, but he's the heir of all things, and that we believers have been made joint heirs with Christ? We'll see that in a few moments. And after he has revealed to him this marvelous revelation of God, I find that the king of Sodom then meet Abram. And you remember the story, how he tried to have, when he said to Abram, "You give me my people, and you take the spoils of war." And you remember, the world is always ready to cooperate with us to bring us under obligation to it. But Abram, once having had a new revelation of God, you couldn't appeal to him. God was enough for him. You see, Abram was very humble before God. He was very dignified before the king of Sodom. Abram was very dependent upon God, but he manifested independence of the world, of the king of Sodom. See? And Christ is always the true antidote to the offers of this world. And when our God owns everything, shall we stoop? Shall we come under obligation to the world? I'm sorry to say so many have. So many Christian workers have done this. They've played along with the world, been brought under obligation to the world, and their testimony has been watered down. My friend, when you feast upon the person of Christ, what can the world offer you? When he fills the vision, as he filled the vision of Abraham, the goods of Sodom had no appeal to him at all. Now, have you got the back picture? So when you come to chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." You know, I thought about this in verse 1. I am thy shield. I'm your protection. He has turned down the goods of Sodom. He has turned down the appeal of the world to him. Now God steps in the picture and he says, "I'm your shield, I'm your reward." Can you have more than that? Is it not enough that God is our shield, God is our reward? But the thing that struck me was, in chapter 14, Abram was courageous. He manifested the courage of faith. Took his 318 servants with a few friends close by and went out and defeated the great armies, the victorious armies of Amraphel, Kedorlaomer, Tyre, and the rest of them. Courage of faith. Why does God say, "Fear not"? Now you think for a moment. Does God have to tell this man who has just had a great victory to be free of fear? Do you mean that Abraham had fear? Why, certainly. Of course he did. Otherwise, God wouldn't have said this. What was he fearful for? What was the cause of his fear? Well, do you think that a great victorious army is going to, having been scattered by a little wee group of people, that they're going, when they come back together and realign their forces, they're going to go down and clean that little pocket of Abraham and his men out? It's the natural result. These victorious armies are not going to go home defeated. They're going to come back. They've already had a great victory. They're going to go back and get their slaves, get their people, and get the goods and go back as victorious army should go back with the spoils of war. And God says, "Fear not." You know, may I just say this? the most difficult time for a Christian servant, for any servant of the Lord, is when God's using you, when you're in the place of victory, place of deliverance. It's so easy to become occupied with what you've done, with your success, or with yourself. Very, very dangerous thing to become occupied with yourself. Self-occupation is not a good thing at all, anytime. When you become occupied with yourself, then you live and you walk in self-will. Here's a man who's had a great victory. He not only has had a great victory over the victorious armies, but he's also had victory over a great test, a far more subtle test than defeating the armies of Amraphel. The subtlety of it. Give me the goods. Give me my people. You take the goods. No, said Abram. I've had a new revelation. My God owns everything. I'll not even take a shoelace from you, lest you say, I'm the one that's made Abraham rich. I'm not going to have God be robbed of his glory when he owns everything, and for you, the king of Sodom, an idolater, to try and get some glory out of this. No, sir. And then you have the reaction. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Oh, how often the psalmist speaks of this. That the Lord is our shield. You remember that? Our shield and our buckler. You take the 3rd Psalm, the 18th Psalm, the 84th Psalm, the 91st Psalm, and so you read on down through. What a marvelous thing. What a fresh revelation of God would comfort, would sustain him. I think of that passage in Isaiah chapter 40. Do you remember it? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him as less than nothing. I'm quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 15 to 17. Fear not, Abram. You and I needn't fear either. The nations of the earth are reputed before him as nothing. And by the way, may I just digress for a moment? I find a great many Christians who are troubled about present-day conditions and what's going to happen in the world and the building up of armament and so on. May I remind you of this? The Most High, I quote from Daniel chapter 4, the Most High ruleth over the affairs of men. He setteth up kings and he putteth down kings. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and none can say to him, what doest thou? I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to have that peace, that rest, that God is still on the throne. I don't care what happens down here, God is still on the throne. And he's going to work all things out after the counsel of his own will. And he'll take care of his people. And just as he said to Abram, I am your shield. Don't have any fear at all. I am your shield. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. A quote from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Wonderful passage. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. It may be I'm talking to some today, and you're full of fear. You read your magazines, you read your papers, and by the way, apart from the Savior, we ought to be full of fear. We're seeing the fruitage. It hasn't come to a full flower yet, but we're seeing the fruitage, the growth of this thing. What will be the result of a humanistic, materialistic philosophy. And most of the world is captivated by it. Pray that America may be freed from it. If ever you prayed for our country, you pray now for our country. The forces of evil are pressing in on the outside and on the inside. And for us Christians, I question there's much time left for us to communicate the wonderful gospel of the redeeming grace of our Savior to men and women. But should I be speaking to any who are fear or are fearful? Remember this first verse, will you? God saying to Abram, I am, fear not, I am thy shield. I am thy great reward. Say, my friend, do you need any more than that? When God himself is your reward. Having spurned the gifts of the world in chapter 14, God says, okay, you won't lose by following me. What more do we need? Are we satisfied with God alone? I remember that passage, you remember, Hebrews 11, about 25, 26, about Moses. He chose to suffer affliction than to dwell in the tents. You remember that? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Now notice this verse. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 11, 25, 26. When you have God, what more do you need? And listen, my friend, God never permits his own to lose by honoring him. I'll tell you when we lose, when we don't honor him. That's when we lose out. But no child of God has ever lost out when they give him his rightful place. And when we take upon the fact, or think upon the fact, and rejoice in the fact that he, God himself, is our reward. You know, I can't get over this. As we had in the preceding chapter, having feasted on the loveliness of our Savior, the world has no more attraction. Why is it that so many Christians are trapped by the world? Empty, shallow, full of fear, no assurance. It's because they've never seen the wonders of our Savior. Remember, he could say in Matthew 28, all authority is mine in heaven and in earth. In Hebrews chapter 1, he's the heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He's the upholder of all things. By him all things are held together. The living eternal God. You see, he's my refuge, yes. He's my shield, that's true, that's wonderful. He's my rock of defense, yes. But he himself has brought us into a relationship. Wonderful thing, into a relationship with himself. And we're going to see that in the rest of the chapter. But what I'm trying to get to your heart this morning is the fact God will never be in your debt. When Abram caught a glimpse of El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth, the world with all its attractions had no place for him. By the way, may I just suggest something to you? This is the name that the demons in the New Testament, in the Gospels, when the demons met the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what the demons said? I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the Most High God, the Son of El Elyon. It's an amazing thing. There's no doubt in heaven. There is no doubt in hell who Jesus is. And the marvelous thing is that God has revealed himself to us in his Son. So if I'm talking to some today and you've been trapped by the world, you've been caught in the snare, and you don't know how in the world can I get out of it. I want to go on with God, but I'm so tied down with my circumstances, my friend. Just get down before the Lord and thank him that he says, fear not. And just as he said it to Abraham, it's just as sure for you. Fear not, I am your shield. I am your shield. I'll guard you. I'll take care of you. And I am your reward. And I say again, can you add to that? Can you add to that? We Christians speak so glibly about the fact that we're the heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Well, what does it mean to you? What do you mean by that? Is it a real thing, or is it just a theory? Is it just a doctrine? Inheritance depends upon sonship, as we shall see in a few in the next lesson. Inheritance depends upon sonship. Well, you say, I'm a child of God. Okay, then you must be an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. As Romans chapter 8, you remember, from verses 14 to 17. Many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, that when a sinner comes and accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that very moment he becomes not only a child of God, but he's an heir to the inheritance. We are joint heirs with the Savior. And my friend, he's the heir of all things, as Hebrews 1, 2, and 3 declare. Romans chapter 8, many other passages. Suffice me to say right now, we ought to go on with the Lord. Oh, to feast upon him. I tell you again, my friend, Christ is the antidote to all the allurements of the world, or of the flesh, or of the devil. He is all-sufficient for your need, for my need. We can truly say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Fear not, I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. And friend, you can't add to that when God himself, all that he is, all that he has, is yours, mine. Let us then enjoy our possessions. As Ephesians 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Go in and enjoy your possessions. And start today to walk with the Lord. Just for today. Walk with him today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. But you walk with him today. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.